Welcome to StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany. I'm right now here again in my cramped study, and it's October already. You can see here, if you're watching this as a video on YouTube, you can see I'm already wearing warm stuff. It's getting a little bit colder here in Germany, and that means usually the Frankfurt Book Fair is approaching, where I partner up with the Content Shift Accelerator Program of the German Book Publishers and Book Printers Association, in simple German, der Börsenverein des Buchhandels. Der Börsenverein des Deutschen Buchhandels, sorry. Which I do usually, and right now, as you may know from the news releases, the complete book fair is canceled due to coronavirus. And so we are going to do this completely remote. And I'm here welcoming the first interview for a finalist of the Content Shift Accelerator program. And I do have Frederick here with me. Hey, welcome and Huaning.
Hi. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for the invitation. Happy to share something about Questlog today.
Great. At first, we go a little bit through your CV and everybody who said, what did he say, Huaning? Is that German? No, that is Mandarin. Because not only have I been to China, you also have been to Taiwan, where they more or less speak the same Mandarin dialect or language. That said, you are, I'm just stalking you right now here on LinkedIn as we're talking, and everybody who'd like to reach out to you directly, you can go down here in the show notes if you're watching this somewhere on YouTube, if you're listening to the audio podcast, and there you can find a link to our blog post. And on the blog post, there is all the centralized information, including your LinkedIn profile. I can tell you have been to Technical University Germany. You did not only a master in science, but also a master of philosophy of science and technology, which is pretty interesting. You've been to a university in Taiwan, and you've been to UC Berkeley, and now you're doing something with books. How on earth did this happen?
Yeah, it is a long story. So the first master of science.
A long story. That is quite good. So everybody relax, get a snack, get a coffee, get a tea, and settle in. This is going to be a great interview.
Okay, so I started studying management technology in Munich quite some years ago already. And that's where I finished my bachelor and master. And my focus topic there was entrepreneurship. So I already learned on the theoretical ground a lot about how to start a startup and who should be in the team and all of these things. But I never really got down to actually founding my first startup. So after I got the degree, that's when I went to Sweden and did the Erasmus for Young Entrepreneurship program. And I went there already with the business plan for Questlog in my suitcase, so to speak. And while I was working there with the startup there, I was still developing the business plan. And then that's why I started the Master of Arts in Philosophy of Science and Technology. I went back to Munich to my old alma mater, and I realized that they have an amazing makerspace where I could use the laser cutter and other machines there to start producing the product.
So you started studying philosophy just to use the laser cutter?
Basically, that was the... Yeah, I think especially for listeners in the US, this will be interesting because, as you might know or not know, we don't have to pay student fees in Germany. So actually, to get enrolled in a university, just to be able to use the makerspace, maybe sounds funny. But anyway, when I started the program and I started going to the seminars in the philosophy of technology, I really fell in love with it. It's a really, really interesting classes and a really small program. We were just like 12 students in the whole program. For comparison, in the management of technology, we were like 600 students in one year. So after I started using the makerspace and started taking the classes, I decided to also finish the second master. And also some of the topics in the philosophy of technology classes are really related to the vision or the idea behind Questlog.
You always talking about Questlog, and we somehow know it's related to book printing or book publishing. Let's get a tiny bit into that. And before that, you want to give a shout out to the universities you've been there?
The University of Munich? Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Shout out to National Taiwan University in Taipei. And then also shout out to the UC Berkeley. It was a great semester abroad there. I went there last year from January to June as part of the philosophy program.
Okay, and now from philosophy to book printing. Then it actually doesn't sound that strange anymore, only just a tiny bit.
Yeah, so the product itself is related to book printing in a way that bookshops nowadays, they are not just selling books anymore. And also they are kind of struggling with Amazon and other e-commerce businesses getting into the book market. So one thing that is really important for bookshops, or really a competitive advantage, is that a lot of people go there for inspiration. For example, they know, a friend of mine, its birthday is tomorrow and I need a present, but I don't even have time for Amazon Prime to wait till tomorrow. So I need it basically now. So that's when people go to a bookshop. And then also it's a good place where people shop for presents. So Questlog is a good present. So that's why bookshop is like a natural distribution channel.
I like what you're saying here. If you need it faster than Amazon Prime, you have to go to a bookshop.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's really the place to go for inspiration if you're just, you don't exactly know what you need already, but you know you want kind of a thoughtful product. Like a book is always a good present, and that's where I kind of want to place Questlog, that it's always a good idea to get someone a Questlog as a present.
Admittedly, I've been a book geek all my life. As you can see, there's a very small part of my book collection in the background there. And I always love when I can go to big bookshops, especially here in Frankfurt, where you have like five levels full, completely full of books. And every time I find something there, I buy it right there on the spot in the local store. How did you get the idea of the Questlog, and how did it actually develop with Erasmus for Entrepreneurs?
So my starting point was that I wanted to start a company which I can mostly handle by myself with a couple of freelancers and maybe one co-founder. Then the next criterion was that it should be something in an area that I'm naturally interested in. So it doesn't feel like work when I have to write marketing texts or create content for it and all of that. So when I combined these two things, I ended up with the rough idea that I want to do something that is related to travel. As you can see from my LinkedIn CV, I've traveled a lot. And so what I realized that there's a specific niche I can go into. I had a lot of friends, who collect, for example, Starbucks cups or Hard Rock Cafe t-shirts or Coca-Cola cans. And they collect it from different countries because they all, as a collection, they look really nice because they have a similar design, but still you can tell that each individual object is from a different place. And the other thing I realized is from myself, but also by talking to other travelers, that many people collect all kinds of small souvenirs. It could be the plane ticket, or it could be a seashell, or it could be anything. And then they see them as really precious items because it's really connected to their personal experience. But once you get back home and you chuck it in a drawer and you don't look at it for a year or two, kind of the memories that are connected with it, they fade away. And then maybe you move to a new apartment a couple of years later and you find these things and you don't really know where they're from and why you carried them around the half of the world. Yeah, so from these two observations, that people collect these small things connected to their personal memories, but also these design objects just to represent the countries they've traveled to, I combined these two things into the product. I can just show it really quickly. So it's always like this small box with the silhouette of a country in the front, and then you can kind of mark your personal travel route with this thread, And then inside you have room to collect all these small items. And then you can put them up on the wall. And like at one glance, you can see I've been to these five countries and these are the paths I've traveled there. And then if you want to go into storytelling and tell your friends some personal stories about your trip, you can take them from the wall and get out all your small items and tell the small stories.
Okay, many, many questions here. But first, how did you decide which countries are you actually going to produce, I would say? So basically, from what I understand, it's like a physical wooden box. And how did you decide which countries you're actually going to put on it? Because for Americans, you just need a landscape of Europe and they can interpret everything in there. How did you guys decide what countries you're actually using this for, and like what outline, what map you're using this for?
Yeah, so in the beginning, we started with like the top 10 most popular travel destinations of German tourists, because I started selling them in Germany. But then I always, like right from the beginning, put a form on my website that just said, you didn't find what you were looking for, send me a message and I will make the country you're looking for. And now I'm not only making countries, I'm also making combinations of different countries, or just states within a country, or even regions like the Black Forest. Or yeah, there's some, like every other week I get a really absurd request from some, like das Ruhrgebiet or Mülheim an der Ruhr, some tiny cities in Germany.
I'm wondering, what was the most interesting request you've ever gotten for like this request form? And would you recommend any other entrepreneur to actually use this like product feedback form as well on their websites?
One really interesting request I got was from a guy who wanted to cycle around the Baltic Sea, and he wanted to have a big version of the box with all the countries bordering the Baltic Sea, so he can mark the route he traveled on his bike for like half a year or something. And I guess it depends on your product. And now that I'm kind of getting more traffic on my website, I have thought of taking down the form, because I get a lot of requests, and but I just block out like 2 hours a week where I do all the designs for the new requests. But I mean, the customers really love it. If I look at my reviews, then a couple of them say actually that they really appreciate that I responded to their individual request.
Actually, everybody who'll go down to the links to the blog post, there's also at the very bottom, there's a feedback form, and I do also get a lot of feedback, but I try to be as responsive as possible and give as much feedback as I can. Sometimes people are just missing important information because I do not require to put everything in there. And if you do not leave an email to reply, I'm sorry, I cannot reply. But everybody else, I still try to get back to them, as well as the comments in YouTube. Do you think that's first important to stay in touch with your customers in the beginning? And secondly, are you thinking of kind of scaling this, keeping it even if you're getting bigger and bigger?
Yes, so I think I will continue having the feedback form on there, but my goal is to eventually get to like a product configurator where instead of me, the customer sending me a message, I like this and that region, and then I do the design and I email it to them and they say that looks good, and then I put it in the shop and then they order it. I just put some kind of configurator on the shop where they can just outline on a map the region that they like and then order it directly. That would be the ideal way to do it for me.
That's very interesting. And how are you actually keeping the production going? Because that sounds like it's very, very small units per product. So basically, I assume your wooden case is always the same. And then how do you actually get the product manufactured? How did you find the producer, and how are you keeping this going? Are you actually having like the wooden cases and you just put it into a laser printer and it kind of burns the map into the product, or how does it work?
Yes, that also brings me back to your question about what I learned in the Erasmus program in Sweden. So I went there with the rough idea that I want to create this product, but then I got stuck exactly at the point that you mentioned. I thought, okay, I need at least 20 countries to begin with. And if I want to order them, like minimum order quantities are in the thousands. And I'm not going to put all of them just on an in-stock and hope I will sell them. So for a totally unrelated reason, I got to know the technology of a laser cutter. And I realized that with this technology, I can just manufacture the products on order. And so what I do is I prepare the basic shapes of the products. So I just have to individualize them with the final outline of the country and the name. And now that I already have gathered some data of which of the versions sell frequently, I can produce those in advance and put them in stock. And then when I get these random requests of not so frequent countries, then I just make them by on order.
I see. So it's partly individualized mass production.
Exactly.
Huh. I see. Before we get to the Content Shift Accelerator program, I would be interested, what are you currently looking for? Like clients, distribution networks? Is your product just for the German market, the European market, or would you be open to like other countries, other partners in other countries to sell it there? And how you guys are right now financed, and are you looking for external financing?
Yes, so right now I'm selling only in Germany, but the idea is to rather quickly extend it to Europe. I'm doing a bit of a redesign for the product, which will make it cheaper and easier to produce large quantities. And then I will get into the book distribution channels, like the retail distribution. And then like first or second quarter next year, I will launch a crowdfunding campaign to develop a digital component of this product, which will basically that you can also connect digital souvenirs, can be images, can be videos, can be blog posts, can be TripAdvisor articles or something to the box. And in order to develop this digital component, I will launch a crowdfunding campaign and to get the financing to develop that. And then also be...
Sorry, the internet interrupted us here a little bit. You are going to launch a crowdfunding campaign like next year, 2021?
Exactly, that's the plan. Like probably in the second quarter, I will launch a crowdfunding campaign to develop a digital component of the Questlog where you can connect your digital souvenirs, so to speak, that you bring back or that you collect during a trip. And because I will probably have the campaign on Kickstarter or Indiegogo, I will get a lot of North American supporters, I assume, and that will be also the point where I will think about getting into those markets by setting up like a mini manufacturing with a laser cutter somewhere in North America.
You think, okay, you have a physical product, so Kickstarter or crowdfunding campaigns do make sense. Are you also open to like other investment forms?
I am, like, I've started the whole thing really bootstrapped, so I'm not really looking for other forms of large capital because I think I can scale it with like minimal capital investment that I can get from cash flow.
Huh, so you're completely bootstrapped startup. That is pretty interesting. And I do believe a lot of the startups out there will find it interesting how you actually set up your production process. Let us get back a little bit into the Content Shift Accelerator program. And let's talk a little bit about how you became aware of it and what did it positively do for like you and your company? What benefits did you get out of it?
Last year, I was part of the Kultur- und Kreativpilotenprogramm, which is like a program of the creative industries in Germany. And during that program, I realized that my product really fits into bookshops, like in this whole publishing industry. And through another participant in the program last year, I became aware of Content Shift. And then I applied and I got in and I met a lot of the jury people from like publishers and large German book retailers. And yeah, it's been really rewarding to be able to speak with these experts in those in this industry.
Mm-hmm. I see. What kind of startups would you recommend to apply for this program?
So I would say that either if your customers are in the publishers or the retail shops, then that's probably when you can benefit the most from the program, because you have direct access to really executives who can give you great insights and even give you a deal and could be your first customer if they like your product. And then also if you're a startup that has like a B2C product, which like Questlog would profit from this distribution network of German bookshops, which is really large. Like even small cities in Germany usually have a bookshop, so it's a really valuable distribution channel. And also a really complicated one with a lot of things to know. So it's good to have some experts that you can ask questions.
We may add, for everybody who doesn't know the German market, basically, like you said, in every small city, there is a small bookshop, and there are not like the giants of like Barnes Nobles or something around here in Germany. There are some chains that are present in shopping malls. There are some chains that are present like with big box stores inside of large cities. But basically, in most of the cities, you won't find any bookstore associated with like a big brand or big chain, right?
Exactly. For example, the town that I live in has a population of around 45,000, and we have one big chain bookstore and at least two or three smaller ones.
Mm-hmm. I see. And through the Börsenverein, you actually get the access to like all the small players, right?
Yes, well, you get access to those platforms that provide all the bookshops with the data of which books are available, basically. So the bookshops, they don't really want to buy all of their products from different suppliers. For example, if they sell 20 Questlogs a month, they don't want to have it's better for them, let's put it that way, to have like one relationship with their big distributor and to purchase Questlogs through them instead of having a separate relationship just with me as a supplier. And this is where the Börsenverein can really help you understand how that works, how you can get your information and your products into the platforms where all those bookshops put in the orders.
I see. Sounds like a very good distribution channel. We're now recording with a few interruptions, like for approximately half an hour, and I'm afraid we need to cut out quite a lot because the internet, your headset and all the setup gave us some trouble. Really sorry about that. Well, we tried to get it out.
I think we've said it all. Like I've talked about the product, talked about how I got the idea, how I'm manufacturing it right now. And yeah, I'm glad I had the opportunity to talk to you.
the pleasure was all mine. Thank you very much for being such a great guest, and hope to see you soon again.
Thanks. Yeah, talk to you soon.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.